We have been thinking about the general problem of sin in the church. And I'm sure that every one of us just wish it weren't true. We could just wish that all our churches would be free from anything that was wrong. But as long as there are human beings in it, the chances are there will be things that are wrong. And the Bible, however, will give us a clue, will give us some guidance as to what we should do about it when there is wrong in the church, when there is sin in the church. This comes out in the 5th chapter of the book of Acts, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Now, we've been reading in this chapter, and so far we have read through the first 5 verses. Now, the incident here, the wrong in the church, was that a man by the name of Ananias and Sapphira sold some property, and they brought in part of the money and pretended that it was all of the money. And Peter confronted him and asked him why he had done this thing. And when we were studying this, we took notice of the fact that Peter did not particularly blame him in the matter of him keeping the money. In fact, the way Peter puts it, it would sound as though he could have kept it all if he had wanted to. Now, he would have been responsible to God what he did with his money, but he wouldn't have been responsible to the church so far as the church was concerned. But when he lied, when he pretended something that wasn't true, then he lied against the Holy Spirit. And he actually was lying in a certain way that would hurt the church as a whole. You see, the church is a fellowship of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know they're drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ in their faith, and they're to have communion with Him. And of course, when you're dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, one doesn't need to worry about deceiving anybody. You can't deceive the Lord. And you don't need to worry about being dishonest, because as far as God is concerned, He can see right through you. But when you get into the fellowship of the believers, you're not only drawn to the Lord, but you're drawn to each other. And the church is made up of a communion of believers. And they gather together with mutual relationship. They look upon each other as fellow members. Now in that, there comes this tendency, this temptation, for any one of us to try to appear something more than we are. And when we pretend something that isn't true, there isn't any very fancy word for it. You might as well call it plain. That's hypocrisy. That's just plain, downright hypocrisy. And a man on the street would say, "You're just a liar." And that's the truth. I know what a temptation it is. If you're around church, you just can't help but feel you ought to be perfect, and so you start acting perfect. Now, you're not perfect. Everybody else knows it. And if you go on with that act, they'll just think you're trying to put it over on them, and they'll call you a hypocrite. And in many cases, they'll be just telling the truth. And that's what happened so far as Ananias was concerned. Peter, and by the way, in our history, so far as the book of Acts is concerned, you could almost say that this is the first instance of public sin in the church. It certainly is the first one to which our attention is drawn. And Peter, when he confronted Ananias, I want to remind you one more time, he did not specially refer to Ananias' greed for money or covetousness. He did not refer to him keeping the money. That in itself wasn't bad. He lied about it. Now that was bad. He pretended something that wasn't true. And by the way, when you know about your own churches, just as you think your own churches, isn't it true? So far as the community is concerned, that one of the biggest complaints the community has about church life as a whole is that we just don't tell the truth. Isn't it a common criticism that the church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites? Now, I don't think that's true. I don't accept the public criticism entirely. But I have an idea where there's all that smoke, there is probably some fire. That down underneath it, there's a certain sense in which it's true. And in that connection, we could very well ask the question, what could the church do? Well, right here you will see, and you can see it in Peter. You can't stop the man from lying, but you can expose it. And that's what he did. And why did he expose it? To discourage it. Nothing in the world discourages a liar so much as have the truth shown up. And that's what he did here. But in any case, as we read along, we came to the 5th verse, and we read that when Ananias heard these words, the words that Peter told him when he said that he didn't lie to men, he lied to God, he fell down and gave up the ghost, which is an old English way of saying that he died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. It affected other people. Now let us read the rest of the story. And the young men arose, wound him up. That sounds strange to us, but you know that's the way they did with dead bodies. They wrapped them in cloth and carried him out and buried him. Of course, this burying, you'll remember, is not our kind of burying. Didn't put him in the ground, put earth on him, so much as it took him to a tomb, a cave, and put him in this cave like a mausoleum. Put him in there. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, "Tell me, whether you sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yes, for so much." In other words, that's the truth. Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord?" Notice this is the third time that Peter has referred to this sin. And each time he points out that the sin was against God, not against man. Look back in the third verse when he said to Ananias, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And then look at the fourth verse. "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And now look at the ninth verse. "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord?" In other words, this action of theirs, because it was in dishonesty, was actually a sin against God. Now have in mind, and just mention it again in passing, God is bringing the believers together. The church is being formed. Fellowship is being promoted in communion together so far as these church members are concerned. Honesty, sincerity, reality is absolutely essential. Nothing in the world will ruin a fellowship as much as dishonesty. And nothing in the world will chill a communion of people as much as when somebody in there is full of pretense. A hypocrite can just ruin a situation when somebody pretends something that isn't true. Maybe you hear someone get up in church and you know right well the very people that are talking just don't do the very things that they're talking about. That kind of thing. At any rate, Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." And then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost. The young man came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Again, let me point out to you, this doesn't say that Peter took her life. This is not saying that Peter killed her. What it is saying is that Peter confronted her with the truth, pushed it right in front of her and made her face it and showed her. And knowing what had happened to her husband, Peter predicts, so far as she is concerned, "Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." The fact that she died under those circumstances is something that Peter just knew. I don't think it has anything to do with that Peter killed her or anything like that. "Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young man came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband." Now, Peter acted for the church in all this. And if you were going to make a study of this in any deeper way for yourself, you would say, what did the early church do about sin? Well, watch Peter. And what did Peter do about sin? What he did about sin was that he pointed it out. He showed it up, and he showed that the sin which these people committed against each other, they really had committed against God himself. Now in verse 11, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." Now here again is a place where you need to pick up that word fear and just remember, so far as it is concerned, that the word fear refers to awe, reverence. They were profoundly affected. And now, if we break that down, try to bring it over to our day and time, what could we say that that would mean so far as we are concerned? Well, we could say something like this, that if the church will acknowledge the truth within itself, if the church will condemn sin among its members, if it will openly repudiate anybody who has committed sin, everybody will be profoundly affected and will be drawn nearer to God. I suppose you got it as we went along. These people were rich people. They own property. And considering all the people in that church at Jerusalem, these would be among the rich folks. And then just have in mind that the way this actually adds up is something like this. Here is a rich man, sells a piece of property, and brings part of the money to the church. Of course, he lied about it. He claimed it was all the money, but he brought only part of it. Now, what did Peter do? Peter confronted him with the lie. You lied about what you did, and you lied against God in what you did. Again, let us think this. There's no evidence that Peter was saying this in order that he would get more money. That wasn't the point. The point is that Peter was saying this in order that sin would be judged. Sin was not to be tolerated. Lying was not to be tolerated. This deception, this pretense, this hypocrisy, this would ruin the church. It would eat the church out like rust will eat out your cutlery. If you don't have stainless steel and you have anything that gets wet, metal that gets wet and it gets rusty. And that's the way it is with you have lying and hypocrisy in the church. It ruins things. It's against the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God cannot move in a church where this is true. And, where people just putting up with pretense. When they're acting a part, when they're not real and sincere, that is really a handicap so far as the church is concerned. And as soon as the church condemns it, as soon as the church openly condemns hypocrisy in any form or shape, regardless of who it is, and is just as willing to speak against the sin of hypocrisy on the part of a rich man as it would be on the part of a poor man. Just simply tell anybody, regardless of whether he's got money or not, regardless of whether he gives money to the church or he doesn't give money to the church, gives him no special favors so far as this Apostle Peter is concerned. Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And then in verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. You see, it made the church effective and powerful among other people. And it would do that with us. And it will do that with me and with you. If you and I will be genuine in what we're doing, don't put on any pretense. Be just exactly as you are. If you belong to the church, go to it. If you believe the Bible, read it. If you believe in prayer, pray. If you're in favor of a church program, help it. Act honestly about this. God will bless you and God will bless the whole church. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand these things and to draw nearer to Thee in all honesty before Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.